I want to take the next few minutes and just look at Acts chapter 9. I have it up here. Feel free to turn in your Bibles. I'm going to read the text. Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. So you know the story, most likely. Saul, Jewish guy, killer of Christians, very, very adamant against Christianity, doing everything he can, even traveling. He was on his own sort of mission trip, going to Damascus to go round up some Christians and take them back and put them on trial. But Jesus intervenes. He appears to him on the road. He speaks to him. He says, "Go into town and you're going to be told what to do." Now we get to the passage that I really want to look at this morning, which is Acts 9, 10 to 18. I'm going to read this. "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized." Now, I don't know if you've ever heard a sermon on Ananias. This is going to be a fast sermon, but I don't know if you've ever heard a sermon on Ananias. I haven't. But as I'm considering Ananias, I'm seeing, there are a lot of correlations and important points that we can take from this text that are beneficial to us as we think about mission, both locally and globally. So I want to consider Ananias. I have 8 points for those of you who want to write them down. The first one is, there was a need. The first thing is, there was a need. You have Saul, who is there, and he is in need of someone to come to him. The Lord has told him that someone's going to come. There was a genuine spiritual need close to Ananias about which he was unaware. God spoke to him and revealed this need to him. First thing I want to ask all of us to do is ask God to reveal the needs around us. You know, there are often needs around us about which we are completely unaware, but God is aware of those. We want to ask God to reveal those needs to us. Second thing, Ananias is willing to do God's will. Ananias was certainly someone that was in the habit of obeying God and his word. He had a spirit that was inclined to do God's will. That's obvious. We can see that. So let us ask God to develop a spirit in us to do whatever he shows us to do. And I want to underscore that the call of God is not a curse. It's a blessing. So often we think, "Oh, no, 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 Lord, please don't call me." No, no, no. You're lucky. I don't believe in luck, but you know what I mean? You're blessed. You're fortunate. You can take whatever word you want. You are privileged if God calls you to do something. That is not a curse. That's a blessing. If God says, "No, I've got something special for you," you shouldn't feel like, "I'm the next for the firing squad." We should feel like, "I won." Let us ask God to develop a spirit in us that is willing to do whatever he calls us to do. Next, Ananias had a role to play. God gives us each a role to play in the execution of his plan here on earth. Now, I want you to understand, this was the word of God to him. This is not this scripture passage here is not a message for all people, for all times, for all places. God is not saying to Brian Carpenter, "Open up your Bible to Acts 9:11. Oh, and you're supposed to go to the street called Straight, for there's a man." That message from God was, that particular verse right there was not for all people, for all times, for all places. The principles are, but the exact message was just for Ananias to go do that thing. In the same way, God leads us, guides us, speaks to us in ways that are consistent with his will and his timeless word, in specific situations in everyday life. God can lead you. Go talk to your neighbor. God can lead you. Speak to that girl at the checkout, or give her a tract, or invite her to church. God can lead you to do that. And so we want to be understanding that God's word is timeless and permanent, but then in specific instances, he will lead us. We have to be listening so that he can lead us. We have a role to play, and God will reveal that to you as you walk with him. This is what I love about Ananias. He's obviously a godly man, yet he is willing to do whatever God, and he is willing to do whatever God is going to lead him to do. Next, Ananias had some legitimate concerns. I love this. He says, Lord, maybe you don't know who he is, but this guy, he's bad news. He's bad news, especially for us Christians. And the Lord says, Ananias, I know who he is. And he's already seen someone named Ananias coming to him. It is common to be afraid, and it is common to not want to do what God leads us to do. It's common. However, the way to deal with that is not to ignore it. The way to deal with that is not to bury it. You know, God, I know you want me to do something, but I'm just going to bury that because it sounds uncomfortable, or I'm afraid to do that, or that sounds really, really hard. That's not the way to deal with it. But the way to deal with it is rather to speak to God directly about these things. And that's what I love about Ananias. He just says, Lord, hey, this is a big, scary man. I don't want to go see him. I love that when you see Elijah on the mountain with the Lord, he complains openly, Lord, I'm the only one left. There's nobody but me. He was wrong, but that's how he was feeling at that moment. And he speaks openly. You see Moses complain about the children of Israel openly. People who know God can speak to him freely. But they don't speak to him freely with a bad attitude. Well, God, you don't know what's going on. They speak to him saying, God, this is how I see it. This is how I feel right now. Help me. And this is what we see with Ananias. He says to the Lord, Lord, this guy. And the Lord says, Ananias, trust me. Next, God had an even greater plan. We see our lives, and maybe Ananias was seeing his pass before his eyes. We see our lives, but God sees the bigger picture. He's planning something greater, bigger things, and he's inviting us to be a part of it. That's what I love. God had a big plan for Paul. And he's saying, Ananias, you don't know anything about this, but I'm giving you an opportunity to be part of this, of my bigger plan. Next, God knew that he could count on Ananias. It is a privilege, as I said, to be called by God to participate in his work in people's lives. I love it that he says, he's seen a man. Now, maybe there were other Ananiases in Damascus that, you know, if that one didn't go, there would be another one. I can't answer that question. But I love it. He already says, well, actually, Ananias. He said, well, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. I think that I'm supposed to meet somebody for coffee. He said, no, he's already seen a man named Ananias coming, and that's you. And I guess, really, I don't have a lot to say, but I have more question to ask, which is, can the Lord rely on you to do what he is leading you to do? God leads us to do things. Your pastor cannot reach everybody in Comstock Park, nor is he supposed to. God is leading us each to do different things. Can he rely on us to do that? Next, my favorite one, he went. He went. God told him to do something, and he did it. We must do the things that God shows us to do. It is very easy, and most of the things that God shows us to do or prompts us to do, most people don't even know about. They won't even know. We can be very disobedient to God and look like very good Christians. And it's important that we have a heart sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit as he directs us. Next, number 8. Ananias became part of Paul's story. Now, Ananias is a footnote in biblical history. If you take any book, one of the greatest books about Paul is by a guy named F.F. Bruce called Apostle of the Heart, Paul, Apostle of the Heart Set Free. Ananias in his book is a footnote. It's a big book. And he was an expert on Paul. He doesn't talk much about Ananias, but he's still a footnote. And he will always be part of Paul's story. You might think that thing, whatever that thing that God might be leading you to do, is really not that important. And if I do it or don't do it, it's not going to make much difference in the grand scheme of things. And I would just say to that in French, au contraire. Everything done in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives becomes part of God's story. So Ananias stands as an example of a regular guy. This is not super apostle man. This is a regular guy who obeyed God at a very critical point in God's big plan
that he had with the Apostle Paul. I believe that each one of you have a critical role to play. You might not think that, well, I'm not a missionary pastor. I'm not even an elder. They haven't asked me to be a deacon. They won't even give me a key to the church. They won't even let me wash Todd's car, but they probably will if you ask him. But you might think, whatever I do doesn't change much. But I would say, yes, it does. This guy appears to be unimportant, but I will tell you he's very important. So what we need to do is ask God, God, what are you leading me to do? Listen for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Look for opportunities that he gives us to share his love with others around us. Now, last thing I want to say is ask you to please sign up to pray for us. We're here to update you, to share with you, but we're also looking for more prayer partners. We want people who will pray for us because we are convinced that if God's people pray, he works. And so we want God to work. We want God to do big things. As I told the elders yesterday, I have more ideas than I have time to do all my ideas. I have more ideas than I have people to do all the ideas that I have. 50 ministry ideas. But we know that as God's people pray, he is going to work through those ideas. He's going to raise up other people with maybe better ideas than mine. But we want to see God's kingdom expand, starting in Quebec, but going everywhere. And we want you to join us and be part of that through your prayers. And how that's done is there's a piece of paper back there. There is also a computer, which I see I forgot to turn on this morning, so just use the piece of paper. But you can write your email address. Please print clearly. And put a day of the week that you would like to pray for us. Pick one. We don't want you to pray for us 7 days a week. If you want to, fine, but you know, people are busy. So pick one day. Pray for us that one day a week. Write that on there, Wednesday, Tuesday. And if you can receive photos or something, just check the box. If you cannot, if you still have dial-up, then just don't do anything, and we won't send you any photos and make you have to download them for 3 hours. So, but we want your prayers because we know that God is going to use your prayers as we continue to reach out around the world. And I want to thank you again for your support. Thank you for being part of what God is doing, and we are thankful for all of you.